for. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I do thank you that through him we have salvation, and that whoever believes on him has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. And I do thank you, even as we think of this this special week, Palm Sunday today, and the next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I do thank you that, yes, Jesus Christ is the King, but he is a King who came to die for his people. And I do thank you that one day, yet, Jesus Christ will come and take his throne, and that he will rule over this earth. But I do pray even this morning that we'd worship you, in spirit and in truth. And we do thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you for the changed lives. I thank you, even as we saw this morning in Sunday school, that all of us at one time were sinners, but yet by God's grace, you have saved us. And I even do pray this morning, if there's one here that does not know you personally, that even this morning that person would place their faith in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus died on the cross for them, that Jesus was buried and rose again. And I do pray, even as we live our lives, I pray that we'd live a life of holiness. I pray that we wouldn't live like we used to whenever we were lost, but that we'd live a life apart from sin. Help us to be loving, help us to be kind and long-suffering. Help us to be putting forth all of our effort to live for you. And I do even pray for the ones here this morning. And I know that all of us have things that are on our minds. We all have problems that are bothering us. And I pray that we just leave these things at your feet, because we know that you are in control. And we know that you care about us, and we know that we can just trust you with these things. And I pray that you'd answer our prayers according to your perfect plan. I do pray for those who are sick, those who are struggling with their finances, with their families, whatever the case may be. I do pray that you'd just work in each case individually. And I do even pray for our service next week, for Resurrection Sunday, and for the many visitors that will be here. I even do pray that you'd work in their lives, and that perhaps even we'd see some get saved. And I do pray that we'd continue to work in this community, that we'd be a bright, shining light in this community of Norwoodville, that souls would come to know Jesus Christ, and that souls would be discipled. So we do worship you, we do praise you, because you are Almighty God. You alone are worthy of our worship. So I pray that this morning that we wouldn't be distracted by other things, that our focus would be on you and on your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. What a privilege to be here this morning. And just a few announcements, if you'll take your bulletin. I want to bring you up to date as far as some things going on here at church. And as we look at the back of the bulletin, we do have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry this afternoon at 3. I encourage you to come along. We leave the church at 2:30. We have a regular evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. On Tuesday night, the ladies are going to have their ladies' night out. They'll be meeting at Bonanza. And you can see at the very bottom of the bulletin more details concerning that. But they will be leaving the church at 5:30. Or if you just want to meet at Bonanza, you can be there sometime after 5:30. This week also we will not be having our men's Bible study. We'll be canceling it this Tuesday, but we'll be having it the following Tuesday. And then also our Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday. You can see the birthdays there. And also if you haven't gotten one of your new church directories, go ahead and pick one of those up there on the back table. And then next week, as I mentioned already, is Easter Sunday. And we're going to have a special event. We're going to have a breakfast at 9 o'clock. And we won't be having Sunday school. We'll just have the breakfast at 9 o'clock here at the church down in the basement. And then we'll have our normal worship service at 11. And then our normal evening service also. And then just by way of note, we will be changing the locks on the church building. On not only the church building, but also the bus barn. We'll be doing that here in the near future. And just bringing that to your attention. If you have any concerns or questions, ask myself or one of the deacons. And so be keeping these things in mind. And what a wonderful time to be together to worship the Lord. And Stephen will come now and lead us as we sing praise to him.
Good morning. We're going to open up and sing the number 96 in those blue songbooks in front of you. Number 96. Let's stand together and sing all Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We're going to sing 97 today. Let's do that. The pianist knows where we are. Let's all get together with him. Don't worry. I have good news. This will not happen in heaven. The chorale will be right along with the music. Let's sing.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 11, and verses 1 through 11. Mark chapter 11, and verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Momentarily, we're going to be singing number 10, "O Worship the King." I think by now you have realized, I hope, that it is Palm Sunday. We're going into what is traditionally known to be the week before Christ dies and then rises from the dead, being Resurrection Sunday next week. But on this day, the Bible records for us, back all those years ago, that Christ came into Jerusalem, and the people, the Jewish people, were proclaiming that this would be their Jewish king, that as one of them, this would be their Messiah, their anointed one, the one that would, to them, save them from the oppression of Rome. But they were wrong. They misunderstood their Messiah, their own Messiah. Today we have a distinct advantage and privilege over them in that we know who our Messiah is and why he came. If we know Jesus Christ today, we can, with the voice of the Jews proclaiming their coming king, instead realize that he has come and to save us from our sins. And we can look forward to the time when we can praise his name in person when he comes for us, ourselves. Amen? So with that frame of mind, let's sing number 10, "O Worship the King, All Glorious Above."
Thank you.
moving on to 228. 228. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Taking our offering. Let's pray this morning that what we have come to give, we will give with a heart of thanksgiving to God, to Jesus Christ, because He did come. He literally walked down that path to Jerusalem, knowing full well in His heart that in 5 short days He'd be crucified on that throne, on that cross, excuse me. He knew that, and yet He still did it. And He did it for us. He gave His very life for us. And we give this morning not to show our wealth and what we can have to give to Him, but we give to show that we ourselves belong to Him already. So with that heart, let's give joyfully in this act of worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much that, Father, despite the fickleness and the deception of our own hearts, Father, You still came. Father, You were sitting on the throne of majesty on high at the right hand of God the Father. You did not even need to consider it something to live up to be the God of heaven, because You were, and yet, on our behalf, You came to die. And Lord, even when those of our own race were extolling You and praising You, Father, You knew full well that shortly thereafter they would be crucifying You. But Lord, we thank You that you allowed Yourself to die on that cross, Lord, because we know, as Your Word says, that without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins, and that it was only Your perfect, sinless blood that could make that happen. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning that we would give from our hearts. Father, I pray that the amount on the check would not be what is important to us, but, Father, the gratitude that is in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would rejoice for the blessings that we have in Him. The spiritual blessings, Lord, not forgetting the physical ones, but realizing that the spiritual ones how far and away make the other things so pale. And so, Lord, let us see in you our fullness and our all in all, and in that spirit give it to you this morning. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Stand together. We have one last opportunity to praise the Lord together in song. So let's do so by singing number 8, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Number 8. Go ahead and have a seat.
Amen. The children can go ahead and go down to Children's Church. So we prepare our hearts to worship the Lord by looking into His Word and being challenged and encouraged. Let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly have grateful hearts, hearts that are overflowing with thankfulness as far as all that You have done for us. And truly it is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ has given us everything. And we thank You that He loved us so much that He gave His own life for us on that cross. Wow. And as we look at Your Word and as we look at what Jesus has done for us, we just stand in awe. And yes, we realize as Jesus went into Jerusalem, He was proclaimed as the King, but that was only a fleeting proclamation. But yet we recognize Jesus is the King, no matter what. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So as we look at Jesus and who He is and His greatness, I pray that You would bless this time. I pray that You would encourage us, help us to understand and learn and to live in light of what You have shown us. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all recognize what today is. If you'd look at any calendar, you'd see the two words, Palm Sunday. But I wonder today, how many people truly recognize the significance? How many understand what it is that we celebrate on Palm Sunday? And as we have already alluded to this morning, Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate what is often called the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord rode into that city on a donkey's colt. And He didn't ride alone, did He? Because surrounding Him were masses of people. People that were shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. That's what we celebrate. And as we read this morning in Mark chapter 11, you can turn there with me. Mark chapter 11 and verses 1 through 11. We look at the significance of this event. As we look at the context, yes, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. But just before that, as we look in chapter 10 of Mark, Jesus had left Jericho, the city of Jericho. And it was on the way out of the city of Jericho that something amazing happens. You see, there's a blind beggar. And this beggar's name was Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord. And he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people, they probably wanted him, just be quiet, Bartimaeus. Don't be troubling the Lord. He doesn't want to be dealing with you. But what does the Lord do? He has mercy and compassion on Bartimaeus. And what does He do? He gives Bartimaeus his sight. Can you imagine that? Being blind, not seeing the beautiful clouds and the blue sky and the trees. And can you imagine that? With the amazing power of Jesus Christ, the amazing power of God, Bartimaeus receives his sight. And what does Bartimaeus do? He worships the Lord and he follows Him. He joins in with that crowd as they go to Jerusalem. Now, as we read verse 1 of chapter 11, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem, and at this time He's walking along with any number of other worshipers that would be coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. And we read in verse 1, Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples. Now as we read these names of these towns, and even the geography, we really don't have too much conception as far as where these cities lie, do we? We have Jerusalem, the capital city, and off to the east of Jerusalem, you have the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives, as we look at this, the Mount of Olives is a mountain ridge, and it stretches for some 2 miles. So you can imagine this. To the east of Jerusalem, you have the Mount of Olives. And on this mount, close to the summit, you have the city of Bethphage. And then on the eastern slope, further away, you have the city of Bethany. And it's there in Bethany that the Lord and His disciples would be spending the night during this time of the celebration of Passover and the events prior to that. Now they're on their way. And you have Bethphage and you have Bethany off in the distance. And Jesus says to His disciples in verses 2 and 3, And He said to them, Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord has need of it. And immediately He will send it here. Now, Mark doesn't give us all the details here as far as what happened. It'd be neat to be there, wouldn't it, and to see how all of this played out. But here we have the main point. The primary point that Mark wants to communicate to us is that the disciples were to go to this city. We don't even know what village it is. Perhaps it is Bethphage or Bethany. We don't know for sure. But they are to go to this village that is opposite them. And what are they to do? They're to get this colt and to bring it back to Jesus. And it is a special colt. This colt that is tied on the street outside of this doorway. It is a special colt because no one had ever ridden upon it. And they were to bring it to Jesus Christ. And in case anyone would ask them, well, what are you doing taking this colt? The Lord told them, it's going to be okay. The Lord has need of it. And everything would be just fine. There wouldn't be any problems. Now, Mark doesn't tell us what type of a colt this is. But as we look at the parallel gospel accounts, we know that this is a donkey's colt. And not only did they bring the colt, but they also brought its mother. Now, as we look at this, why had this colt never been ridden before? Now, we know this is all according to God's perfect plan, isn't it? And Jesus had a purpose why he wanted that specific colt. A colt that never had been ridden before. Because he would be the first person to ride it. And this colt truly had a wonderful role. Because as Jesus would ride that colt into Jerusalem, the people would be recognizing him, although not fully, but yet they would be proclaiming him as the King of Israel, the Messiah. What we call the triumphal entry. Now, as we look at this, can you imagine the two disciples? They're going into this village, and the Lord has said, go ahead and get this colt. Now, we don't know if there were any prior arrangements. Perhaps there were prior arrangements that the Lord made with the owner of this colt, but we don't know. But perhaps, maybe, and we know the Lord is all-powerful. He is in control of all things. He knows everything. Perhaps the Lord just knew, and he worked it out this way, to where the disciples were going to go to Bethphage, and the Lord may not have even had any prearranged conditions, but yet the Lord knew and he had arranged for that colt to be there. And that the owner would have no problem delivering that over because it was the Lord that had need of it. We know that the Lord owns everything in this world, and anything that he needs is rightfully his. But can you imagine the two disciples, even if there were prearranged conditions, you can imagine the disciples may have been a little bit leery, a little bit on edge, because they may have been thinking, well, what happens if something has changed? What happens if some of the people around think that we're trying to rip off this colt? We're trying to steal it. You can imagine how they'd be a little bit concerned, can't you? But even though they may have had concern, even as they go on their way, the disciples are obedient, aren't they? They don't shy away and question the Lord's will. No, they do what the Lord has commanded. Look at verses 4 through 6. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Isn't that great? If the Lord tells you something, you can count on it that it's going to be exactly as the Lord has told you. As we look at the Word of God, God has told us many things in His Word. And you know what? We can trust every single thing that God has told us in His Word. And we can know that that is true. This is God's Word. That's the way it was with the disciples. Jesus had said, this is the way it's going to be. You have no reason for fear. Trust me. And that's what the disciples did. They trusted Him, and the Lord blessed in a great way. Now, the disciples were taking that colt, and there were onlookers, weren't we? Now, we don't know if it was the owner, or whether it was some neighbors, or if it was just some strangers that were concerned. Because you can imagine, a colt is a valuable piece of property in that day. And you can imagine these people, they're just trying to be helpful and watching out for their neighbor and their fellow man. And they confront the two disciples. What are you doing loosing that colt? Now, perhaps the disciples were getting a little bit nervous here. I don't know. Or maybe their faith was so strong that they had no concerns at all. But the disciples said, the Lord has need of it. And it happened exactly like the Lord said. Isn't that an encouragement? The Lord's promises are true and we can count on them. And whenever we doubt, whenever we do something out of fear, and we don't do what the Lord has told us, we're losing out on huge blessings. And we're missing out on so much. And so the disciples do as the Lord has told them, and they bring this colt to the Lord. They look at this. So they went their way, verse 4, found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And we continue on here. The people let them go, verse 7 and 8. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. We look there at verse 7. Now remember, this colt had never been ridden on before. There was no saddle that came with it, so that's why they took off their tunic or their cloak and they draped that over the back of the colt. Now, this is probably an unbroken colt. And what would the response be? But once again, we find that Jesus is in control. And even though the normal course of nature may be that this colt would be wanting to buck off its rider, we don't know. But yet Jesus is in control and he has a perfect plan and a purpose to use this colt. And it's not going to do anything outside of what Jesus wants. So the disciples threw their clothes on it, and Jesus sits upon it, and they ride toward Jerusalem. And it's not Jesus and just his disciples and Bartimaeus that are going into Jerusalem. There are hundreds of people that are going to Jerusalem at the same time, pilgrims that are there to worship at the time of Passover. There have been many people behind them, before them, as they go toward that city of Jerusalem. And how do the people respond? We look at verses 8 through 10. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So what do the people do? They take off their clothes. Now, they didn't have a suit coat like this. But what did they do? They took it off, right? And what did they do? They put it right before the feet of their Lord as he was riding upon that colt. And imagine hundreds of people doing that. And not just that, there are palm trees around. And Mark doesn't specifically make reference to the palm trees, but in John we know that there are palm trees, and they cut down the branches from the palm trees and they strew those before the Lord as he was riding on the colt. And even probably other plants that were along the roadside, they put those leaves on in front of the colt on that road. Now, why did they do that? Why did they do that? And as we look at Scripture, and we recognize the people respected Jesus. They recognized him as an authority, as someone who is special. And we find a similar scenario in the Old Testament. And when Jehu, he was one of the Old Testament kings, when he was anointed king, there are those who are with him. And what they do? They took off their cloaks, their tunics, and they put them under him so that he could walk upon them. And what they cry out? Jehu is king. And this is exactly what is happening here with Jesus. The people are recognizing Jesus as their king, and they are respecting him, they are honoring him, they're taking off their garments because they're recognizing Jesus is someone special. That's what they're doing. And not only did they strew the path before him with these garments and the leaves, they are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, Hosanna is actually coming from the Hebrew, and that means save now. And that was a common way for the people. Just like we say praise the Lord, that's a common idiom that we use to ascribe praise to our Lord and thanksgiving. That's what the people were doing by saying Hosanna. They were saying praise the Lord. They were praising the Lord for Jesus. He came in the name of God Almighty. They praised the Lord for the coming of their father David, the coming of the kingdom of their father David. And also, even as we saw in John previously, they proclaimed that Jesus is the King of Israel. But as Stephen mentioned already before, what type of a king were they expecting Jesus to be? They're expecting Jesus to be their Savior, their Deliverer. And yes, Jesus is their Savior and their Deliverer, but the people were not thinking about the cross. The people were thinking about Rome. Now, Rome was an oppressive regime, and the Jews desired deeply to be freed from that oppression, freed from the control of the Empire of Rome. And so they were waiting for someone to come along. And just as we think of the intertestamental period, the Maccabees delivered the Jews for a while from Rome, or from the Greeks, from oppression. And that's what they were expecting in Jesus, a king, someone that could take the throne and set up the independent nation of Israel again. That's what they were desiring. They were desiring a liberator. And the people were excited about this. They were hoping for this. They wanted those glory days of David and Solomon. That's what they wanted. They wanted those glory days again. But yet, the people, not even the disciples, fully understood what Jesus was going to do, who he was, what type of a king he was. Jesus was doing this for a reason. Yes, he is the king. And what he was doing here had a reason. It's actually fulfilling prophecy. Mark doesn't mention it specifically in this passage, but in other Gospels, reference is made to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus had a plan and a purpose for what he was doing. He was fulfilling the Father's desire. He was fulfilling Scripture. Old Testament Scripture. But what type of a king was Jesus? He was a king. He wasn't telling the people, "Be quiet. Don't be attributing praise to me." He wasn't saying that at all. But yet, Jesus wasn't the type of king the people wanted. The people wanted a mighty warrior king. But yet, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a humble king, riding upon a donkey. Now, as we think of this, and as we look at history, it was not unheard of for a king to be riding upon a donkey. But yet, Jesus, he was a humble man. And as we look at his ministry and his purpose at that time, it was not to liberate them from Rome. It was to give his life for the sins, not only of Israel, but for the sins of the world. They proclaimed him as king. They praised him for the coming, for his coming, and they praised the Lord for the coming of the kingdom of David. And yes, Jesus didn't rebuke them. Yes, Jesus was coming in the name of the Lord. He would bring in the kingdom of their father David. But yet, God must have his perfect plan, and the time was not right at that time for that to happen. Jesus would do that one day, but not then. God's plan is what matters, not man's misguided notions. And the Jews were very misguided at this time. Now, we celebrate Palm Sunday because this is the day that Jesus went into Jerusalem on that donkey's colt and the people proclaimed him as king. But we think about this and we look, as we continue to read through the Gospel, what do we find out? It was only a matter of days before some of those same people who cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Some of those same people only a few days later would do what? They'd be shouting out, "Crucify him!" Can you imagine that? The fickleness of the human heart. The Jews did not accept Jesus for who he was. And for those who are lost, unbelieving Jews, they are still looking for a Messiah and they don't realize Jesus has already come. Their Messiah has already come. And he one day will yet come again. Yes, this is Palm Sunday. And we celebrate what happened. But yet, as we look ahead, even in the Gospel of Mark, turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Because Jesus soon, within a matter of days, would be arrested there at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he would be brought before the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. And we come to Mark chapter 14. And I think it's so very important for us to realize the rest of the story. Mark chapter 14, look at verses 53 and following with me. Mark chapter 14 and verse 53. "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. And many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. So the people ask him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one? Are you the Son of the Blessed, the Son of God?" And Jesus answers, "I am." Yes, Jesus one day, very soon, would be exalted to the right hand of the Father. One day he would return to judge those who are rebelling against God. Jesus told the people that he was the Christ. He told the people what he would do. But yet the people disdained him. They hated him for what he said. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they really didn't entertain any idea of Jesus being the King of Israel. They hated him and despised him. Yes, the people got caught up in the excitement. But the leaders were opposed to Jesus, and they called out for his death, and they desired for him to be brought to Pilate, and they brought him before him. We go to Mark chapter 15 now. Look at verses 1 through 15 with me. "Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' He answered and said to him, 'It is as you say.' And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you.' But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, 'What then will you have me to do with him who you call the King of the Jews?' So they cried out again, 'Crucify him!' Then Pilate said to them, 'Why, what evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, 'Crucify him!' So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified." Yes, Jesus told Pilate he is the King of the Jews. But even as we read in John chapter 18, Jesus clarified himself. Jesus wasn't a king like Caesar. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate responds to them, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answers, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so Jesus, during his time on this earth, what did he do? He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent." That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Jesus preached. But yet Jesus' kingdom was not like the kingdom of Rome or the kingdom of Babylon or the kingdom of Persia. It wasn't like any of those kingdoms. Jesus' kingdom was a divine kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. But yet that doesn't mean that one day Jesus won't set up his kingdom here on this earth. That doesn't mean that Jesus will never rule as king here on this earth, because one day he will. Yes, Jesus' kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. Well, one day Jesus' kingdom will be here on earth, and what a day that will be. Jesus soon would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. And over him on that cross was the sign, and what did it say? The King of the Jews. Jesus had never sat on David's throne. But yet Jesus still was the King of the Jews. Jesus was crucified. He was put in that tomb. On the third day, he rose again. Then after some 40 days with the disciples, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And one day yet in the future, Jesus Christ is going to return. We have that hope. He is going to return. And Jesus isn't going to return as a humble king upon a donkey's colt. Jesus Christ is going to return in power and great glory. He's going to return on a mighty steed, a white horse, What a day that will be. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Because here in Revelation chapter 19, we truly see a triumphal entry of Jesus Christ when He comes in power and great glory. And He will set up His kingdom and no one will prevail against Him. He will defeat all His enemies. Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is the King. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, following down to verse 18. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And then flip over to verse 4 of chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast nor his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Jesus truly is the King of the Jews. But even more than that, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And one day, yet in the future, He is going to show Himself in all His power and all His glory. And not one person, not even the devil himself, will be able to withstand the power of Almighty God. Now, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ truly is in control right now at the right hand of God. But Jesus Christ is not here on this earth ruling on the throne of David, but that will come to pass. And you know what? When Jesus Christ comes on that white horse, He's not going to be alone. You know who's going to be with Him? You and me are going to be with Him if you're a born-again believer. You're going to be riding on your own white horse. And you're going to have a part in that victory, that great victory. And you'll be able to see, I believe, the crowning of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a wonderful day. So yes, we celebrate the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but yet we have to grieve that the people didn't really realize, they didn't recognize Jesus for who He truly was. They were deceived. They were just caught up with the excitement and the emotion. But Jesus Christ is the King. Praise the Lord. He is a King who not only rules with power, but He is a King who sacrificed His own self. Have you recognized Jesus for who He is? Or are you just like those people that got caught up with the emotion? Now, there's going to be a lot of people in church next Sunday. But you know what? There's a lot of those people that just get caught up in tradition. They just think, well, it's the right thing for me to be there in church on Sunday. But how many of them recognize Jesus for who He truly is? I hope this morning you recognize Jesus, yes, as the King, but as your Savior. Have you believed in Him for the salvation of your soul? And do you have the hope, and are you sharing that hope with others, that Jesus Christ, yes, He is Almighty God, but He died for you, and He wants you to be saved. He wants you to rule with Him forever. May we live for Jesus Christ. May we serve Him as our Lord, as our Master, and as our King. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have shown us in Your Word. We thank You for Jesus Christ, how He came to this earth, and how He lived a perfect life. I thank You that He rode into Jerusalem that day so long ago, how He rode on the donkey's colt. I thank You that the people did proclaim Him as the King. I thank You that they spoke the truth. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But I pray that even today we would recognize Jesus for who He is. He is the King who died for us, and He is the King who one day will set up His kingdom here on this earth. So I pray that we'd share with others the good news of Jesus Christ and help us to worship You, because You alone are worthy of our praise. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close this morning with 208. 208. Let's stand together as we sing, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed.
Son of God. He gave up all the glory of heaven to come to this earth to be a man. He took upon himself human flesh and he died on the cross for me and for you. Have you accepted that free gift of salvation? Have you trusted Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? I hope you have. I hope that you're serving him. I hope that you're sharing that good news with others. Alas, and did my Savior believe? It's great to think about, yes, how Jesus died for us and how he rose again. It's something that we shouldn't think about just on one day of the week. We need to be thinking about this 365 days a year, praising our Lord, being thankful for Jesus Christ.
Sing out that final verse. Thank you, our Lord, again, that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that he suffered so much. Father, I pray that we would set our hearts and minds to even understanding a little bit, a small portion of what that means, Father. In our lives and in this place, Father, we know little the meaning of suffering. So, Lord, I pray that we would meditate upon the fact that Christ literally came and he literally gave up himself to the painful, torturous death of the cross. But, Lord, let us also contemplate and meditate the love that he had, the love that he showed, and the love that he constrained him to do that for us. And then at the conclusion of that, Father, I pray that we would realize that we owe our all in all to him. Father, I thank you so much that you have chosen us, and Lord, I pray that we would rejoice in you for your choosing us, and I pray that in all things we'd be our all in all, our everything, and that you might be magnified in our lives, that we would seek day and night to become more like your Savior, that we would make even the hard changes, the sacrifices, Lord, that it takes to take up our own cross and follow you. Pray that we would do it, Father, not as a burden, but rejoicing, knowing that you are creating us, are forming us into that eternal image, Lord, that you are even this light momentary affliction is even now preparing us for that eternal weight of glory that we will have when you come for us and we will be with you and reign with you for all eternity in heaven with joy and without sorrow and no more tears. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, who has given us all these things. Amen.